Hello and welcome to Little Bard's Tavern. Today's special guest is Andy Dafrowski from Two Bards.
Two Bards, one mic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am a larger bard. An older bard.
I'm just a little one.
A beardier bard, but not by much.
Fair enough.
Yeah. How's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I was doing well, but so today we're going to be talking about video games, as is usual,
normal,
right? But we're going to be doing it, eating extra spicy dry rub chicken legs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, talking about these chicken legs real quick, so you guys know how much pain we're going to be in. The rub that we have is a delicious garlic, salt, paprika, smoky paprika rub,
and
a little bit of cumin.
Yeah.
However, we've also added volcano dust, which is
intense.
It is powdered ghost pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh my God.
Otherwise known as the butt reaper.
Yeah. Well, at least not the Carolina butt reaper.
Yeah.
So, so what's on the docket today? Which games are we talking about?
Well, we're going to start with Yooka-Laylee, thanks to
Mabek from the Starmazer Discord.
Sweet. Thank you, Mabek.
M-A-B-E-C. Thank you very much for the Steam code.
And then we'll be talking about Dark Souls Remastered. Thank you, James.
Yep. For the Xbox One version. Thank you, James Peters from Two Bards Discord.
Yo. So let's go ahead and start off with some Yooka-Laylee.
Okay.
Well, this is going to be short and sweet.
All right. So we take a bite and then we start talking. Right?
Okay.
Okay. So here are... Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
So much powder on this. Ow. Oh, my God. Ow. Mm. Woo!
That one's going to come back to bite us.
Mmm. Yeah.
Sweet. So, Yooka-Laylee.
Yooka-Laylee,
we did try playing it using a HDMI to the 4K TV.
Yep.
Which,
from a PC.
From a PC.
It's a Steam game.
It is, yeah, the Steam one.
Can you, real quick, sorry, you guys hear some banging. Can you turn off those speakers? Just turn that dial
okay. All
the way to the left.
All the way to the left.
Yep.
Done.
Okay. And we'll turn this game down just a touch because we are spiking a bit.
Okay.
Oh my God, those are hot.
Yeah.
So, Steam game. Yeah, we tried to run HDMI from the laptop into the TV.
And we ran into a plethora of problems.
The biggest problem, of course, being frame rate.
Oh, that
or lack thereof.
Just awful and atrocious.
The reason that's going to be quick is because it was pretty much unplayable. We were unable to play it. We were unable to play it on the machine itself.
Mm-hmm.
Both were terrible. This is a, I want to say 1070. An NVIDIA 1070.
Mm-hmm.
So there is absolutely no reason. No reason at all. It should have been this bad. So...
The gameplay wasn't as... And when we were able to play it, because we had to, like, reduce the settings really so a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
The controls, and you agree with me on this one, if I remember correctly, were not good.
No.
Very janky.
Yep.
You'd often slide.
Oh, it's so hot.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
Unless I'm incorrect, this was created by a lot of people who did make Banjo-Kazooie?
Yes, it's very similar to Banjo-Kazooie in a lot of ways, hence the name Yooka-Laylee. Ha 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 ha. graphically, it's very pleasant. I will say it markets itself as a kid's game.
Yeah.
Very much so. But the very first NPC you encounter is a trouser snake. So... It's literally Trouser the Snake.
Yeah, he's wearing trousers.
He makes a bunch of innuendos, so yeah, your mileage may vary, but I'm going to say if you're calling it a kid's game, you're not giving it its credit. It is definitely adult-oriented.
It's like saying Conker's
Bad
Fur Day. Totally a kid's game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you piss on anybody in this game.
Not that I'm aware
of. Or fight a shit demon.
But we'll just say, you know, when it comes to jokes for innuendos based.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
I know. I'm already dying.
So, unfortunately, we can't really give a thumbs up to Yooka-Laylee. I've heard the Switchport is fantastic. It's optimized for the hardware. This might just be because it was a PC version.
Mm-hmm.
But we tried it on a machine that absolutely positively should have had no issue running it, and it just stuttered. The input lag was terrible.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else to say. We turned everything down. Nothing helped. This thing should have been able to run on almost nothing, and it just would not run.
Yeah.
Correctly. So
however, for like we said though, looks very pleasing.
Yeah, very pleasing, very very 3D platformer feeling. Not as refined as Banjo-Kazooie. I'm not going to say it's not to Banjo-Kazooie what Mighty No. 9 was to Mega Man. But it's not something I can recommend until I actually get a version that I can play without.
Stable version.
Yeah. We need a stable version, so. We'll maybe give it another try later.
Yeah. But on to our next topic.
All right, another bite.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hey. Tastes so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Oh, so good. Lips. That was all drool.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. I'm doing the whole thing.
You are a brave man. Okay. I'll go ahead and start off since I enjoy it. He doesn't.
You're confusing brave and stupid.
Fair enough. Our next topic is Dark Souls Remastered.
Yep.
I like Dark Souls Remastered.
Oh my god.
What's your opinion on Dark Souls Remastered right off the bat?
Dark Souls Remastered is the fixing the toilet of video games. It's not fun. It is not even anything close to leisure. But when you get something working, you feel accomplished.
Yeah. I just like the pain from Dark Souls.
I do. Fucking wings, I feel like I do too.
Yeah. I did get to play. What was funny is I played the original on the PS3.
Yeah.
And then I sat there and I was watching like the sale timer go down. I was like, I can't. I need this. And so I bought Dark Souls Remastered early on for $20. Super cheap, by the way. In my opinion, for a remastered game. It's nice. You know, you get to play Dark Souls again with other people playing Dark Souls.
Right. Oh, let's talk a little bit about the remaster. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows, but don't go in expecting the jump from Last of Us to Last of Us Remastered from the PS3 to the PS4. Don't go in expecting, like, tons of new textures and tons. It is a very, very focused remaster. Its biggest focus is improving performance.
This is true. I found.
So, oh my god.
Yeah, I'm dying too.
Oh, wow.
So worth it. Okay.
We should have filmed this.
Yeah, really.
Oh.
I'm starting to tear up. Okay. I did like it. My friend was like, hey, I want to see you try Dark Souls on the PS3. And I said, okay.
Well, should I give my account of how, because I'm completely new to Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah.
I should give my account, I think, of how everything went.
Fair enough.
All right. So, everybody knows that Dark Souls is difficult. But beyond Dark Souls being difficult, Dark Souls is also completely and utterly obtuse. If I didn't have a guide, I would have quit playing 15 minutes in. Because
it's so hot!
It's so hot!
Oh.
I love it. So yeah, if I didn't have a guide, I absolutely would have quit playing 15 minutes in. Because nothing is laid out for you. It doesn't give you any real indication of where you're supposed to go. I mean, the very beginning does because it tells you that, basically you're in a So, I'm going to get the door real quick. Do you want to tell them a little bit about the beginning of the game?
Yeah, I'm on it.
So, the beginning of the game, you play as a class, and knowing, Andy and I, my dad and I, we both chose the worst class to pick, which is called Deprived. You start out with, like...
I didn't pick Deprived. I picked Warrior, remember?
That you did.
Deprived is basically the I want to feel all of the pain all of the time class.
I thought you told me when you first played, like... I think.
Oh, no, no, that's when I first played. I tried Dark Souls 3, and I picked Deprived. I've never played Dark Souls, the original, before, and I stopped playing Dark Souls 3 after, like, a minute. Because it didn't make any sense to me. I was like, why would anyone do this? So, tour guide McGee over here. Wow, these are hot.
Yeah.
Takes me to... he takes me through the basics of where to go. Which literally is the only reason I can keep playing. And I mean, at first, it's hard, but it's no harder than most video games where, like, oh, you know, one hit death kind of thing, cool. You've got these weird hollow dudes chasing you around, and they're assholes, but they're not super assholes, whatever. You end up fighting a demon, like, well, you can fight it right away, and I bet most people try to.
A lot of people succeed.
And I'm sure a lot of people succeed. You get a special weapon, I guess. I don't give a fuck. But anyway, I did not. I moved on to get a weapon, an actual non-stubby sword fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, you straight up do one damage each hit, which is funny because if you take off the sword as a warrior, you do two damage by punching it.
Oh my god. I should have done that.
So thank you, Dark Souls.
Your sword is that terrible.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's so, this is the Asylum Demon. This is the big, fat, like, flying asshole.
Yeah.
Looks like Watto from the prequels. That's your first experience. This is why I didn't play, this is why I quit playing Dark Souls 3. First experience, you go and you, like, touch a statue, and it just kicks the shit out of you. So... Someone finally told me, he's like, no, man, you got to be on its ass like a fucking, like, you know, like toilet paper. You got to be right up it. So I finally did beat that guy, but then I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do anymore.
I want to take this accomplishment and walk away.
Yeah. So, god damn.
These wings. These legs.
They're not as hard as Dark Souls.
You got me there. And these are actually enjoyable to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again. That's my biggest problem with Dark Souls. It's hard, but it is never fun. It's only ever a feeling of accomplishment. It's never enjoyable to play. It's only enjoyable to progress.
This is true. Well, actually, I disagree. I like it. I like the difficulty. I like keep going back and retrying something until I get it right. And I do enjoy that work towards... there's a hilarious comic out there where this guy's just kept dying. And he wakes up the next day and goes, Beatsy goes, that was easy.
Huh.
So, that I like that. Because that's how I feel. I like learning.
Well, and that's that forest demon, whatever, the demon on the bridge?
Yeah, forest demon.
Basically, kick my ass, then I just beat the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, oh my god, these are hot. Sorry to be a broken record here, but they are.
And the game doesn't really have a... It's linear in an unlinear way.
Yeah, it's very Metroidvania, except for 3D.
And it hates you.
Yeah. And you don't get the joy of starting out powerful, like in those games.
Oh, no.
And then losing your power. You suck from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. You are literally the suck of
fucking. Whew. If anybody wants a recipe, I'll tell you where I'm buried. it'll be on the corpse. So, let's see. To give you an idea of how bad I am at this game,
We got it a week ago, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to under the City of the Undead or whatever, the underside of it.
No, you got... Okay.
So I got the key to go to the...
Oh, you got to... So for anyone who plays Dark Souls, sorry, he got up to that area where you have to go fight the Capra Demon. So he was like just about to fight the Capra Demon. He goes, and I'm done.
No, it's because I got ganked by like 80 people who came out of doors.
Yeah.
Get
good.
And it was just, shut up. Well, get good. Guide over here has me fucking unequip everything so that I can fast roll. Because there's like roll levels in this game. You don't just roll. You've got a slow roll or a...
You have a fast roll, a mid roll, and a slow roll, and that determines your iframes.
Which are?
Invincibility frames.
Right.
Sorry.
So during a roll, you're invincible to attack. You're invincible from attack. Are you fully invincible? 100% invincible? Or can
at the beginning of the roll.
At the beginning of the roll. So even if it's fire or something, at the beginning of the roll, you're invincible.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure about that, how that far, but I know that at the beginning of the roll...
So keep in mind, we're playing this on a fucking HDMI OLED TV, so I'm sure that frame counters, like, you just have to figure out what the timing is for setup.
Even for horrible, for PS3, like in Blighttown, for like when it actually like destroyed itself, it was just all about timing. Although there, everyone parried.
But you have to learn the timing, basically, for your setup, because... These are actual frames you're counting here. Like, not seconds, not halves of seconds, frames. Well, so, it's like playing a fighting game, like a Capcom fighter or something, where you have counter frames, and you have to hit a button within a certain number of frames for a move to be usable or to counter something. It's like that, except for it's 3D, shit's coming at you from every side. You also have a limited number of this stuff you can do because you have stamina.
Yes.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's so amazing.
So guide here took me to this big mossy area to get a shield that gave me extra stamina, which was great. I'm glad we did
the grass crest shield.
The grass crest shield, that was good. And to get a bunch of purple moss because poison fucking sucks in this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's most games, poison's just like an effect that, like, takes away a quarter of your health or whatever over time. No, in this game, poison will kill you a number of times. It's got enough of an impact, usually, to drain you 100% multiple times. So you have to either get to a fucking bonfire or use an anti-poison thing or just keep sucking down Estus, which is...
Limited.
It's limited. It's a drink that refills your health, kind of.
It does.
It does. You can get bonuses to all of that.
Yeah.
Certain equipment gives you bonuses to
resistance.
It gives you, it's standard RPG in that sense. But it is hard as balls. Yeah. And I can't explain it any other way other than it's work. It's a job. And your only fulfillment comes when you kick your shoes off at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It just is not enjoyable to play unless you're a masochist or psychotic.
I am both.
You are both. You're a psychomasochist. So when it comes to recommendation on this, I'm going to, even though I hate it, I think I actively hate it, I am going to say it's a recommended buy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's $20 for the remaster. Unless I'm being lied to, I was told that this comes with a DLC included.
Yes, it comes with a DLC up to a certain point. That's correct. And if you buy it on PC, my understanding is modding will start happening on it soon. So the big change that they made, for those of you who don't follow a bunch of... I know, you're going to die. We're all going to... This is the hottest... This is the hottest I've done.
Yeah.
This is the hottest chicken we've done.
Yeah.
We've been eating spicy chicken for the last week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's wrong with us.
Oh, so
yesterday we got regular hot wings, and they just tasted like salt.
Yeah.
It was covered in Frank's Red Hot. It tasted, I tasted zero spice.
Yeah.
I tasted the flavor of pepper.
We got,
but zero spice.
I got some spicy chips there, and they were, like, minimal.
Yeah. I bumped this up because we're getting immune to it, and this is hot again. This is, like, supremely hot again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's good. So, yes, the basics of what's going on here. When Dark Souls was first released in 2011, I want to say?
I don't know.
I think it's 2011. Moore's Law was still in effect, where they were doubling CPU speed, not cores. You weren't getting multiple cores. You were getting single cored or the very best hyper-threaded CPUs. And the expectation was, as time went on, the CPU clock speed would keep increasing. Well, that didn't happen so much on account of heat and physics and the, you know, I mean, you can only, we're down to, I think, 12 nanometer now on the die for CPUs. There's not much further you can go down before it just can't carry current without destroying itself. So we're kind of at a point now where the way you increase a computer's speed is to increase the number of cores it has so they can do more parallel processing.
Mm-hmm.
So they went through and rewrote the entire engine to no longer CPU bottleneck on things like that. So even on a high-end PC, we're talking a Pascal, like a NVIDIA Titan Pascal with a really, really great Threadripper-type processor, the old version would still stutter in Blighttown.
Yeah, well,
like, we're talking it would drop to sub-30.
Yeah.
Okay? You need 60 frames a second on Dark Souls. You need it. Because everything is frame time. So you have to have those frames. You have to have that responsiveness. oh, my God. The tongue feels numb.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is they've gone back and they've basically multi-threaded the hell out of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even on the lower-end consoles, but especially PC, especially, you know, higher-end consoles like the Pro and the X.
Yeah.
It can 60 frames a second.
1080.
And it's 1800p. 1800 on... So, for the consoles. PC, you can get 4K 60 frames a second very easily. Yeah. Very easily. So, and that's not sacrificing anything. That's with full, you know, like my rig will absolutely get 60 frames a second at 4K. 100% mm-hmm. guaranteed. So, it's an amazing technical achievement, even though graphically it's better, but it's not what most people would think with remastered. What they really remastered
was how the engine
was. How the engine worked and the performance. The mm-hmm. performance is what got remastered more than anything. Some people really hate it too because they used to use a lot of baked light maps. A baked light map is you don't have positional lighting, therefore you can just put a shadow in the texture so that it looks good, but you don't, you know.
Yeah.
Now most of the light maps are dynamic, which people don't like the look because it doesn't look like the old way. Plus, it's less dark. A lot of the game is less dark than it used to be. Metals look less dark.
You can actually see something for once.
Yeah, that's true. but, yeah, so overall, I'm going to say it's a buy, especially at $20.
Oh, yeah, and I really recommend it. If you've never played a Dark Souls game, you don't own a Dark Souls game, get it. It's $20 of just fun for me.
Now, I will say this, as a non-Dark Souls initiate, until recently. One, find a guide. Find someone to help you. Two, find someone. There's no manual, really. So either go look up a FAQ or buy a strategy guide or have someone walk you through the mechanics of particularly summoning and boss fighting.
Oh, yeah.
But also the mechanics of how weight affects you and how certain things like impact your character. Because there are, like, okay, for example, when we got the grass shield, Mm-hmm. Whatever, grass lawn.
Hey, grass crest.
Grass crest. I didn't have a projectile character. I could not have defeated the person I needed to defeat to get that shield. It's a giant moth that flies away. Moon moth. Or that's something else, but it's the same area.
Yeah, same area. So
what did we get there then? What did we get from that thing?
We got its soul and we got a... I think we got a key or something. I can't remember now off the top of my head.
Well, anyway,
we needed to beat that boss anyway.
So when you basically there are some bosses that you have to have certain feats to be able to beat effectively.
Yeah,
you could now you could beat this boss. You could roll and roll and roll and roll and roll,
and then it come up to
and
the
it
bridge.
Comes up to the bridge and you hit it and then it flies away and it would take you forever.
Yeah,
it would take you five ever.
Yeah, really.
So you learn to summon. There are NPCs you can summon. You have to get this special chalk, and you can inscribe stuff and summon blah blah. Blah. Well, no, not
well,
to
no.
Su- not to summon those
not
guys.
To summon.
That's to join other people's games.
Yes.
Okay.
So in order to get summon, you have to have the soapstone, the white one.
Right.
But in order to summon, you need to be human, which gives way for invasion. But that's a whole different thing. Now there was one more thing we did want to talk about. Well, at least I want to talk about, and you did. We did play some Bloodborne.
We did play Bloodborne. Now, let me straight up say, this is where I disagree with Michael. If you don't have a Souls game and you have a PlayStation 4, that being the pre-qualifier, Bloodborne, get that first.
Oh, yes.
Because Bloodborne, to me, is just far more compelling in every way. It's exactly the same game. Well, in terms of mechanically... It's exactly the same enough.
Yes.
Okay? It's a Souls game.
Yeah, it's a Souls game.
It's hard. You don't, instead of Estus, you have little blood vials that you...
Well, you can find those.
Right.
That's the main difference.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
You can stockpile on blood vials. In Dark Souls, you'll only have 5, 10, 20 Estus,
right.
And that would mean you have to improve your bonfires.
Right. So there's this whole mechanic in Dark Souls... around humanity.
Yes.
And that mechanic is you find humanity like a person does.
Yeah. I found
by
humanity.
Killing people.
Of course.
God damn it. Anyway, so you find humanity by killing people because that seems... Well, these are undead people.
Yeah, so...
So you find humanity by killing... By
re-killing something.
So I guess that makes sense. You sacrifice that humanity... And you can become human, or you can stoke your bonfire, you can do all these other things not all these other things, but you can do a few things that, like, let you do other things in the game. Like, when you stoke your bonfire, you get 10 Estus instead of 5.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a bonus to it, right?
No.
No, that's something else is the bonus to the Estus.
Would be an item that you get.
Right, that gives you basically...
You have to go to a character and you have to reinforce your Estus, which how that works, I don't know. But
it gives you more... Basically, when you drink it, you get more health back.
Yes.
Wobble, wobble, wobble. But you can get 10 if you stoke your bonfire.
Yeah.
You can get 10 Estus instead of 5, which sometimes, because every time you rest at a bonfire...
All enemies respawn.
Not all enemies. Most enemies respawn.
All
mobs respawn.
Well... It really depends where you are, because let's say early on in the game, Black Knights don't respawn. You'll often get in this habit later in the game. That's about the only enemy you fight.
Yeah, so they do respawn because they become a mob at that point.
Yeah.
Versus
so mobs special. In that area do respawn.
Right.
Any special enemies for that area, you know, early on games, Black Knights, Tower Knights.
Yeah.
So, you know, so
but you
on.
Do keep items. You do keep, like, things that you've opened remain open.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's even after death.
Yeah.
Death works the same way in terms of respawning. When you die, everything respawns because you come back at a bonfire, your last bonfire. So... Back to Bloodborne. Bloodborne is a Victorian, sort of vampiric almost. It's not quite a vampire. It's more of a plague. Like,
yeah.
There's a plague thing. There's a plague theme, plague doctors.
Yeah.
There are not werewolves, but totally werewolves.
Yeah,
there
beast
are
men.
Beast men. Yeah, there are not. Basically, take any Victorian monster thing. There's
and,
that, but totally not that.
But
totally
yeah.
that. I love the story. The story has a woman who's trying to cure people, and you're supposed to like help her by going out and finding infected and like doing, you know, and there's like,
you're a hunter.
Yeah.
You kill bad, like really big bad guys, and you hope to find a cure eventually.
Well, yeah, but at the church, like she specifically asked you to do a few things for her and stuff like that. Story-wise, I find it way more compelling. The problem is with Dark Souls, you really have to find the story. You have to look for it. You have to read item descriptions. You have to
talk to people. Yeah. Actually, like, go into depth. You won't figure out some things first playthrough.
Right.
And
I would say Bloodborne is definitely more story driven because you get story right up front.
Yeah.
Like they even tell you story right up front. So also this was kind of a funny thing. Bloodborne has an interesting mechanic early game where you have to die.
Oh yeah.
To continue.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen.
You're supposed to go visit the hunter's thing when you first find it. That was my fault, honestly.
Oh, okay.
And I'm you're supposed to find the bonfire in this game. So there's no bonfires in Bloodborne. There are lanterns. Mm-hmm. And you don't rest at those. They teleport you to the hunter's tavern or the hunter's dream.
Which is like a weird cemetery-looking area.
That's your bonfire. So the second you go there, you get healed up. You don't get any blood vials, though. But you can buy blood vials and do all that stuff with blood.
Right. So, Bloodborne gets an absolute double thumbs up from me.
I really did like it, and I do, especially since you can make your character have a huge nose.
Oh, God. The character customization is hilarious. So, Michael started out with what looked like sort of a Picasso Benedict Cumberbatch, and then you turned it into the demon from fucking Ghouls and Ghosts at some point. Like, he made his eyes tiny and super close together. Huge nose, beak sharp.
Yeah.
Huge nose, sharp features, demonic in every way. It was hilarious.
It was great.
I loved it. The character creation is way more fun. That's a gripe I have with Dark Souls, but I think it's an amazing troll. You spend all this time creating a character,
and you don't get to see it.
And you go in, and you're just this fucking mummy.
Yeah.
You're like this gross-ass dead mummy.
That's why people... So, if anyone who decides to pick up Dark Souls after this, by chance, what you do is you go to customization, you set the character face to different, and you just spam A.
Until you find something you like?
Oh, until it gets obscured to the point where you get bored.
Oh, right. But when you become human, you see it again.
Oh, yeah.
When you get your humanity back. Don't worry, that's going to last about 32 seconds. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so it's because when you die, you lose your humanity again.
Yeah.
You can't just go burning through humanity. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Resources in Dark Souls
and Bloodborne
are really fucking scarce.
Yes.
They're really scarce.
Yeah. The game is really focused on grinding and at the right time. So in Dark Souls, I didn't really tell you yet, but if you have a boss to defeat in an area, all the way up until that boss is defeated, there's a chance that every enemy can drop a humanity and just give it straight to you.
Oh,
and put it in your bank.
Got it.
So if what a lot of people will do is they'll do humanity farming, where they'll get a bunch of humanity, beat up the boss, and just burn through the humanity.
Uh-huh.
Because you can get the number in that black circle, your humanity bank, you can get back by picking up your souls if you die.
Right. Right.
It's just being human you lose after you die.
So the other thing I want to talk about as a difference between the two that is it seems trivial, but it actually is kind of a big deal to me. And the only reason we're like really talking about these two together is because they are so similar. They're both from Software. They're both. I mean, you've even probably heard Soulsborne as a genre. Souls-like. Bloodborne is not Souls-like. Bloodborne is Soulsborne. It is part of the actual genre. I would say it is in the pantheon of Dark Souls, if I really had to put them together. I've heard the new Japanese-themed one is not in the pantheon. It looks Souls-like, but it is not a true Souls-ish game.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodborne absolutely is.
Oh, yeah. And
I mean, instead of note markers. You get little, like, fucking baby ghosts that come out of the ground and shit like that. But they function the same. It's really interesting. The one thing I want to say, though, is it is an absolute generational leap in UI quality to go to Bloodborne. The UI in Dark Souls is fucking amateur hour. It really is. It's functional. I will say it's functional. But it is clunky looking. You get like MS Paint arrows pointing to shit, and they just stay up there. Those are your buff arrows or arrows that tell you if you've got something on that like is improving your
stamina or so, like, your defense.
Yeah, so if you've got a defense buff, your health gauge will, the part of your health that's your health is the thing to the right of the arrow. Everything to the left of the arrow is bonus. So there's this yellow arrow that's like kind of to the left of your normal health gauge. That points to where your health cuts off and the bonus health begins. So like the more bonus health you get, the more that centers itself. But it just looks like someone fucking pulled it out of MS Paint. It's a giant fucking yellow MS Paint arrow.
Yeah.
It's ugly as shit. Then you also have the buff up arrows. Like on stamina. There's one on stamina for the shield.
Yeah, there's kind of, they just have their own. They're not that great. They're not appealing as much.
They're not.
But honestly, you're not supposed to be like really staring at those. You just need to know what they do.
Yeah, well, if you have an OLED TV, it sucks.
Fair enough. Well, because it does burn in. That's one of the few things that burns.
Yeah. Yeah, this OLED TV thing, it's so fucking gorgeous, but I might have to say it is an absolute no. If you play any games at all.
Fair enough.
Blah, blah. So yeah, that's sort of the Bloodborne Souls portion of this, I guess.
Yeah.
Were there any other games we wanted to talk about real quick? Because we have been playing quite a bit. You played through... We picked up on Connor Marks' recommendation, Titanfall 2.
Oh, okay.
Holy shit!
My first experience with Titanfall 2 on a actual watching was a speedrun.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me, you know, like, whoa, this game's pretty cool. I'm not going to buy it, but it's cool.
Right.
Then you told me you picked it up because it was super cheap.
Well, okay. I had a $5 coupon.
Yeah.
It was a dollar. Or after tax, it was $1.60.
Yeah.
Because it was $6 for the Ultimate Edition that comes with all the DLC.
Yeah.
So for $1.60, fucking double recommended.
Yeah. And so I just sat down one day and just played through the whole thing. I started at, like, 8 and beat it by 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, I'm not saying I'm like a pro, but if you're familiar with FPSs and like games like Doom,
yep,
very much like Doom, that fast paced, you could probably beat it in, I wouldn't recommend a whole sitting, but you could.
For you oldies out there, it's parkour Doom plus mech assault.
Oh yeah.
I mean, literally, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's great.
It's when you're out of your mech, it's parkour Doom. You're jumping around, you're fucking wall running. It's Ninja Gaiden style, crazy controls. It's a lot of fun. It's very kinetic.
Very.
When you're in your mech, it is a true... It's the closest thing to Battletech.
Since Battletech.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
I do enjoy it, and I played through it almost again immediately. Like, a couple days went by, and I was like, eh, I'll play Titanfall 2 again.
Yeah, yeah. It's the campaign's short but rewarding.
And it's super, like, story-driven.
Yeah. Surprising for a game like that.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, especially a game that is so focused on multiplayer as Titanfall. Titanfall is primarily a multiplayer game.
When Titanfall 1 came out, it was depicted as a multiplayer experience with freaking mechs.
Yeah. With sharks with freaking laser beams.
Yeah.
So... the big difference between Titanfall 1 and Titanfall 2 is you can play Titanfall 2 on anything. Titanfall 1 was Xbox only.
Oh, yeah.
360, I think, right?
Probably.
Because the big thing was it was using the Azure cloud to make the world inhabitable. They just basically bought their own Azure instance, and now you can play it on anything. I'm playing it on the Xbox One X. It doesn't exist on the PC. That's the one place it doesn't exist. So if you want it as pretty as possible, the Xbox One X is absolutely the best choice, with the PlayStation Pro being a second, and then the PlayStation, and then finally the scrub Xbox One. No, I mean, dude, don't even... if you have an Xbox One and you're enjoying it, great, awesome.
Good on you.
Good on you. It is absolutely the lowest powered console currently in circulation.
Yeah.
And it's really starting to show on newer games. Far Cry 5 is almost unplayable on it. But the X console, and even the S, which has a slightly more, it has slightly more clock.
Mm-hmm.
Way better performance than the One X. Or, I'm sorry, than the One. The One X is it's the current sort of Cadillac of consoles, but it doesn't have PS1 or PS4 exclusives, so...
Yeah.
It's the Cadillac of cross-platform.
Fair enough.
How's that? So if you want to drive on all the roads, but if you want to drive on the special tow roads, you need the PS4 Pro. That shit is fucking pristine, too. But what I would like to see is, are some first-party games for the Xbox One X that actually push it the way that first-party games for the PS4 Pro push the PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, I mean, when we're talking things like fucking, well, anything from Naughty Dog. Anything from Naughty Dog.
Truly.
But even Santa Monica Studios, God of War.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Another great pushing game. I don't remember. But there's been a lot. Yeah.
There's tons. There's so... the Shadow of the Colossus remake. Fantastic looking.
I haven't seen that yet, but I'm so ready to.
It's so amazing looking. Games like Tearaway, which is... Tearaway doesn't, like, come off as being something anybody really would be... It's fucking amazing.
Resident Evil 7.
Resident Evil... that's on the Xbox One.
Yeah, but it's also on PS4, isn't it?
Yeah, but it looks way better on the Xbox One X. See, this is the kind of thing... If it's cross-platform, the X has the advantage.
Oh, yeah. But I was more meaning, like, games like that push it
very
well.
They do push it very well. But oh man, the PS4 Pro has some Persona 5.
Yeah,
only available on PlayStation. Fantastic game, only available on PlayStation. Yep. So, though Xbox finally, and you might want to talk about this game, but you might have already done it. Xbox One is finally getting certain games that were exclusive for a while, like Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. They got it so hard they bought the company.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
I'm honestly wondering, though. They say they're going to focus on Microsoft's platforms. This would be a coup for Microsoft if their platform was the best, but they still let it go out to other platforms, especially to the Switch.
Yeah.
That would be a fucking coup. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Forza Horizon is... Wow.
Yeah.
The new one?
Yeah, that's what I was going to...
Forza Horizon 4... If you have a 4K monitor, especially, do yourself a favor. Go out and look up Digital Foundry for Forza Horizon 4. You'll see a demo of it. Whoa!
Wow! Yeah.
Ah, it's incredible. Crazy. It's crazy. It is the coolest looking driving game I think I've ever seen.
I don't like driving games.
Yeah,
but this one I was like,
I don't like driving games either, but I like MMOs, and that's what this is.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's an MMO where your character's a car. I'm not even joking.
Cars, the MMO.
Yeah. World of Carcraft.
Oh, God.
World of Craftwork. Different game.
Yeah, fair enough.
If you're interested in this and you want to hear more, particularly if you want to hear more crossover stuff with Michael and I, or you want to hear us talk games, let us know on the Discord, which you can get to at discord.twobards.com. Also, there is a Little Bards Tavern Discord channel.
Yahoo!
So come and join that. Michael should be making some invite links soon, but yeah, we don't have any right now. Just joining the regular Discord will get you access to the channel, though. So please join it. Talk to us. We love being responsive about that and having chats about games. Huge thanks again to James, especially. I can't wait until James can't use his Xbox One version of Soul Calibur because we just watched the 4K... gameplay trailer for that. Oh my god, I want it so bad.
James, you're forbidden from buying an Xbox One.
Yes, we need these games. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for coming today, or at least listening in. I'll see you guys next time. Have a great rest of your day.
Or life.
Yeah, that too.